thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Dude.
This dude, Will T, starts off early, bro. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy, and man, Will T. What's good, homies?
What's the breathing for, Will? How you doing, man?
I'm straight, man. I held back. I wanted to let you talk first, man. You weren't here. You weren't here last year.
45 games a run. I wasn't here last year. Yes,
I mean, last week. I mean, you weren't here for a lot of last year. But anyway, but that's neither here nor there.
I know. Since I've come back, you got to take some time off. How much leave do you have, sir?
I still got plenty of leave in the bank.
God, you guys are crazy, man.
Where was you gone for, like, 2 years? 2.5?
No, actually, I was on reserve, injury reserve.
Okay.
I did what I had to do.
I mean, that's the PC way of putting it.
The PC way of doing it, right?
Right.
I took a sabbatical. It's nothing wrong with that.
It's nothing wrong with that, bro.
You know, at least I was up front, you know, versus texting at like 7:40. Like, yeah, I ain't going to be there.
Y'all crazy.
I mean, things happen. Things happen. I can't be it.
You guys. Anyway, there's a lot going on in sports.
I work for those who pay me.
Oh, my God. The Washington Wizards are not going to make the postseason. Will T has let us know. No, he's let us know that. All the time via text.
Nah, not so much via. You know, I just try to remind people of what they say. You know, and you know, I have a guy to my right who was very adamant about saying that the Wizards would make the playoffs. Here's why. Do we have that clip?
We don't have the clip right now.
Okay, we need to find it though.
That's a lot of work, man. That's a lot of work. A lot of pregame working. All right. But yeah, the Wizards won't make the postseason. We'll talk about if Randy Whitman will be the Wizards coach on Thursday or will he be fired on Thursday? Will Ernie Grunfeld be fired? Will T, what do you think? Ernie Grunfeld fired on Thursday before we get into it?
Absolutely. I hope so.
All right. Then
not because I have anything against Ernie. It's just that his performance on the job.
I hear you. But again, we'll talk about that within the next 5 minutes. Again, we got to get to our pregame. Also, Golden State Warriors, they're chasing 73 wins. That's a big deal. Kobe Bryant also is having his last game tomorrow as Golden State has their possible 73rd win on Wednesday as well. Which game is more important? We'll talk about that. Also, the Orioles are 6-0. We'll talk about their start. And the Nationals, Daniel Murphy is on a hot start. That's a good acquisition by the Nats. We'll discuss his start. And finally, Manny Pacquiao defeated Timothy Bradley on Saturday. And there's a lot of talk about Manny Pacquiao retiring. Do we believe that or not? We'll talk about that. Anyway, let's go back to the Washington Wizards. Randy Whitman, his job is in jeopardy. Wizards didn't make the postseason. He made the postseason last year. What is his chances of staying in Washington? Or are his chances, excuse me?
I think they're slim and none. And slim just went out the door. This is a team that I think realistically looking at this roster – coming into the season, I thought that this was a 50-win team. I thought this was a 50-win team, and I thought this team would be in a position where the Toronto Raptors are, as the second best team in the Eastern Conference. This team has vastly underwhelmed this year. They haven't lived up to the expectations. And coming off of last year's season, where you had a team that was probably a John Wall injury away from the playoffs to making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So you wanted to see this team build off of that momentum. And although they lost a key part to that playoff run, which was Paul Pierce, who went to the Clippers, you still wanted to see the progress. You wanted to see this team evolve and take that next step, which they never clearly did, whether it be because of injuries, whether it be because they didn't have the personnel to play the style of basketball that they wanted to play, which was the space and pace. You know, it just all led to a season of frustration for anyone who's a fan of this team and a follower of this team.
I think the small ball direction for the team was a mistake. Bottom line, because I think, Will, you identified a few weeks ago, there was no stretch four, and that's vital. Everyone who watches the Golden State Warriors who perfect the small ball, they have Draymond Green. The Wizards don't have anything close to that. And I think that affected them all season. Chris Humphries didn't get maybe the opportunities that some would have liked to see, but he still wasn't that guy. And then defensively, they struggled this year, which was a surprise to me, as, you know, in the past two seasons where they made the playoffs with Randy Whitman, they have been top 10 in defense. So a few issues from a coaching standpoint when it comes to, again, the style of play and also defensive basketball. But also injuries played a role, definitely. And I think that's where possibly Coach Whitman's job can be saved.
Oh, you think it's going to be saved?
No, I said possibly. That's the only reason. Why else would you keep him? Except, oh, you know what? If you have a healthy group next season, then I believe you can probably reach the playoffs again and maybe make a deep run in the playoffs. But other than that, what hope does Randy Whitman give you?
Well, you stated something, I think, which is key to evaluating a GM, which is injuries. You know, a GM's responsibility is to build depth on a team. And for that reason, I think it's become ever more clear and present that that's why you have to make a change at the GM, because this was a guy who couldn't build a roster, construct a roster with depth, and a team that went to that was, you know, all indications was ready to contend for a higher seeding in the playoffs and possibly a run to the Eastern Conference, because the GM lacked the ability to build a team with depth and also with youth that really came through in the way this roster was formed and the way that it played and performed this year. So I think that's why you got to get rid of both of them.
I agree. I just think, you know, from a personnel standpoint, Ernie Grunfeld was wanting to be a run-and-gun team. Gary Neal, Allen Anderson looked heavy. You know, when he came back, he never seemed to get in shape. He didn't stay on the floor. Gary Neal is a good acquisition, but he brought him in for what? Shooting. Uh-huh. Then, when these guys were injured, because Gary Neal also dealt with injuries, who did he sign? Jarrell Eddy.
Who barely played.
Who is just a shooter. He brings nothing else to the table. And then he was inactive for a better part of the end of the season. I do not understand why J.J. Hickson was brought in. Do you guys understand that at all?
But no, he got no burn. I didn't get it.
I didn't understand it, especially when you had Nene on your roster. Now, I get it. I can see if you pick up a J.J. Hickson with the caveat that you want to get him into your system early because you think, with Nene going next year or this upcoming year or this offseason, excuse me, with him gone this offseason, you have a guy in J.J. Hickson that can bring you energy and rebounding off the bench, right? But outside of that, but like you said, what does J.J. Hickson bring you? You know, you should have maybe potentially used that roster spot on a guy that you could develop, because I think it's become clear to anyone who has eyes and who follows basketball, this team wasn't going to make a run to the playoffs.
Here's what bodes well for, again, both individuals, and that is we've seen the potential of what, you know, this current group of Wizards can do, you know, when healthy. So I know Paul Pierce is not in the picture, but still, even the year before they had Paul Pierce, they went to the playoffs and won a first-round series, correct? Uh-huh. So that's what bodes well for Whitman and for Grunfeld. What does not bode well is that this draft is weak, and it's not going to be something you can begin to build for the future on starting this season. I just don't believe that. Hopefully the following year will be good. I mean, I'm looking at the draft, by the way, and I'm hearing that Elijah Ingram from Duke is considered a top two pick.
Easily.
That is ridiculous to me.
Easily.
Elijah Ingram.
Ingram for Duke.
Yeah.
Ingram. Oh.
Is that and possibly being picked ahead of
I don't believe that.
Ben Simmons.
That I don't believe, but he's
You mean Brandon Ingram.
Brandon Ingram. I say Elijah, my bad. There is Elijah Ingram in the world, isn't it?
Possibly someone out there.
I think so. Anyway, thanks for correcting me, though. But I just don't see the potential of him being a lottery pick. I see it.
But
in this current climate, I guess.
But I don't know what the Wizards would need anyway in terms of that position. I don't know what they need in the draft.
Let me stop you guys right there because you don't have a first round pick this year because you traded it for Markieff Morris. So you don't have to worry about
it. It's conditional.
I mean, top 10, but what's the odds that you? Well, maybe. Maybe you can get. I think it's what, top 10 or top 9 protected.
Yeah, I think they're fine. I don't think they'll slide anything. They'll barely miss the postseason.
But you're right. It's not going to be. They're not going to have a lottery pick. You're correct.
Yeah, they won't have a lottery pick.
What else is there?
What's the top 10? If it's top 10,
if it's
the 12th, I think they have an opportunity to get the 12th pick.
No, they won't. They won't, because that's a lottery pick. Lottery is top 13 teams.
Yeah, exactly. So
they would have to be in the top 10.
They have to be in the top 10.
Yeah, but they won't be in the top 10 because of their record.
You're right. They won't have it. You're right.
Yeah, Buddy Hield. That's what Grunfeld would drag, because he wants shooters. He wants to outscore everybody. What else is there the Wizards are going to getting the draft. I just don't see the potential to build on anything.
My thing, I don't get anybody who wants to keep Randy Whitman. The dude was a loser in Minnesota. Where was he at? Minnesota beforehand? Yeah, Minnesota as a head coach. He wasn't doing well over there. The Washington Wizards, for a while, he wasn't doing well. I mean, he's under 500 in D.C. anyway, in terms of his total record in D.C. Randy Whitman, he will never get you to the next level. I think this team is talking about getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. Randy Whitman isn't a guy that can get them to that level, regardless of the fact. You're talking about it, that people are saying, well, Randy, it's not his fault. You have people who say it's not his fault because of injuries. But at the same time, if people like John Wall, Bradley Beal, they want to ascend to the next level, they want to compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers or whoever team is the number one seed at that time, when years to come, for them to do that, they need to get a real coach, a coach that can actually propel them into quality play in the postseason. And Randy Whitman, to me, isn't that dude.
I just read a report that he is expected to be fired. No word on Grunfeld yet.
Yeah, they said Brian Windhorst went on a Tony Kornheiser show, a local show that's what?
No, go ahead. I'm just gonna laugh.
On a local ESPN affiliate, he said that on Monday that he fully expects. The rumor is that everyone in the league fully expects Randy Whitman to be fired Thursday morning.
Yeah, easily. So he'll be done. Yeah, so he should be done Thursday though. Well, I wouldn't waste any time with him.
Good riddance. So I'll have to see you again.
So who's for this season? Who's at fault? Who's more at fault? Randy Whitman or Ernie Grunfeld?
Ernie Grunfeld, by far.
Explain why.
Well, here's why. The demand to play space and pace came down from upstairs. Came down from Randy Whitman, for one. Two, you have...
You came down from Ernie Grunfeld.
Yeah, came down from Ernie Grunfeld.
Okay. Okay.
From upstairs. Two, you had two guys who you considered young cornerstones of your franchise in John Wall and Bradley Beal. Why you haven't continued to surround them with younger talent that you get through the draft and kind of build this team from the grassroots, from the ground up, is a mystery to me. You know, you spent now don't get me wrong, the guy was he worth it while he was functional and healthy? Nene? Yeah. He gave you something, but he didn't give you everything you needed. Then you make moves like compounding, making a trade for Markieff Morris, who, don't get me wrong, is a good player.
Uh-huh.
But you trade a potential lottery pick for him, to me, baffles me. Now, although it is, I think, top 9 or top 10 protected, but anyone who was being – if Ernie Grunfeld was really being honest about this team, he would have known that this is a team that could contend for the playoffs. He made that trade just to simply save his job. You made that last gamble, and that last gamble may be the last strong breath of wind that knocked over the house. So he has to go. Simple as that.
If I'm making a last, you know, minute move or trying to save my job, Michael Beasley is who I would have brought in. Because to me, he would have fit in with the offense better than
Markieff Morris
or J.J. Hickson. I don't think J.J. Hickson was brought in for offense, but – again, that just didn't make sense. It's tough. This is a tough question because I have not been a fan of Randy Whitman's coaching, even when the Wizards were winning, because I just didn't understand the way he managed his personnel and their minutes. I just didn't get it. You and I always would question his substitutions and what was his rationale or his logic, and also the things that he allowed on the court when Trevor Ariza was a Wizard. He often shot a lot of ill-advised threes. Uh-huh. Now, don't get me wrong. Some games, they went down. But there were other games where the shot selection was questionable. He never seemed to react to that. And also, I don't know if he's done the best job in developing John Wall. I'm thinking that John Wall needs somebody. I don't think it's Isaiah, but John Wall needs a coach that's going to be able to guide him a little bit better. I'm trying to think of who that person might be, but... And long story short, I think Whitman is the person that is most to blame because, again, I think this group did show most of this group. You still had your core players, uh-huh. and they showed they were capable of, even in the midst of injuries. Nene had been injured in the past, so had Bradley Beal. I think John Wall's a bit overworked to some degree this season. But from what I've read and from what I've seen, because I've been around the team, the players have lost confidence in Randy Whitman. And once your coach is not respected anymore, and once the players don't know if the coach even has stability, which does kind of fall on Ernie Grunfeld to some degree, He hasn't given a vote of confidence. Have you heard him? Mm-hmm. I think that ultimately the coach is responsible for what took place this season.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the coach just because, like Ray mentioned, sometimes you just question some of his sudden patterns and who we kept in the game and, you know, or whatever. But what I will give Ernie Grunfeld credit is that when he brought in Markieff Morris, he did bring an element of toughness, which this team did need. And he was a stretch forward. So I felt like Ernie Grunfeld did bring in somebody to fit the ball, the style they wanted to play. So he was bringing in some talent. Greer Will, Ernie Grunfeld isn't the best general manager, president, whatever, for the Washington Wizards. But at the same time, he has made moves that I felt like this team should still be competitive and shouldn't be a team barely getting at 500. So that, to me, that's on coaching. He gave him the groceries to perform, not to win a championship, but to perform. And this team is underperformed at a high level. So to me, it's definitely Randy Whitman's fault. And like Ray said, I don't think he really does a good job of helping out the young guys to develop them into a better basketball player. I think John Wall is just God-given ability. When I look at, you know, people like Otto Porter, Bradley Beal over dribbles. You watching the games where he's just dribbling around. A good coach would shut that down and say, you know what, Bradley, don't over dribble. If you don't have it, kick it back out and reset. So I just look at him as like, what are you doing in terms of coaching these kids up to make them better basketball players?
Hey, so what do y'all think? Thibodeau?
I think that would be a good one.
No.
I think they need structure. I think they need structure.
I think you go with David Blatt.
That's not – I wouldn't be mad at that anyway.
David Blatt or Scott Brooks.
I don't like to stick with the offensive theme, which is why I don't like David Blatt. But
– what about Scott Brooks, though?
Scott Brooks is a solid coach, but what has he done?
He's taken a team to an NBA Finals. He's developed a younger team.
Well, Wally, do you think that's credible, his trip with Oklahoma City?
I'm not a big Scott Brooks fan. I'm not the biggest fan, but, I mean, he has the resume. I think this team needs structure. I just think they need somebody strict. They play too loose at times for me. They turn the ball over. You got John Wall sometimes want to be play hero ball. I think you get a guy like Tibbs in there. He'll give him structure, and he will truly reward the grit player, the guys who really really produce out there. So go ahead.
No, but here's my problem with, and don't get me wrong, I think Tom Thibodeau is a phenomenal coach, right? Mm-hmm. But he's proven that he will run players into the ground with a guy if you're going to will, because I think it's fair to say that Bradley Beal is going to demand a max deal, right? Mm-hmm. Bradley Beal has shown through his history in D.C. that he's fairly fragile. You get a guy like Tom Thibodeau in here, he's going to run Bradley Beal into the ground. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Thibodeau. If the Wizards were to hire Tom Thibodeau, I think he would be a terrific hire. But I just think now, with guys like, you know, Bradley Beal, John Wall, Otto Porter, who need to develop their game offensively a little bit more, I don't think Thibodeau is the guy that you bring in at this juncture.
Well, I mean, I actually think he would help out Otto Porter. We can talk about that during the next show. But anyway, there's a big game coming on Wednesday night, which includes Kobe Bryant, last game, and then the Golden State Warriors chasing 73. Which game are you going to watch? We'll talk about that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Saints.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Strast in Russian means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, and scored 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. That is...
I try to make it next month, soon up and fucking shred the shit up.
Yellow beat, holla at me.
And chewy on some hot. Like I told Tish, I see when I sh. Like you seen him twirl, then he drops. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And Trigger, we be wild and he some hot. Tones known to get busy with them. Try to run down and you can catch.
Running through these checks till I pass out.
The
shorty give me neck till I pass out. I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't up, beat up on my trap house. I've been selling this like the fifth grade. Really never made no difference with this shit I made. That told me flip them packs and how to maintain. Get that money back and spend it on the same thing. Shorty like the way that I ball out. I be getting money till I fall out. You talking cash, dog, I goes all out. Shorty love the way that I floss out. Free greasy them, let all of my dogs out. Mama send no cats inside my dog. That's what got my daddy locked up in the dog pound. Free fan on them.
Let all right, we're back from break. You're listening to Urban Sports with myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy, my man Will T. Alright, we've talked about boy before, before you also mean to give you some reads. You can listen, excuse me.
Yeah, the calling number, by the way. if you want to call, it's 240-478-3140. We're also on Twitter. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. You can also listen to us on the Sports Career Podcast. Show every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. This show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I lost my spot.
See, it's okay. Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
I appreciate it. Anyway, before we left, for the break, we wanted to talk about the Golden State Warriors 73 victories. Oh, it's going down Wednesday.
Possible,
and it's going down. They're playing Memphis.
Doesn't matter.
At Oracle.
Nothing's a given at this stage of the season.
All right, let's start with that. Do you think the Golden State Warriors will beat the Memphis Grizzlies at Oracle?
I do. Yeah, of course I do. I'm just saying I wouldn't just, you know, count out the Grizzlies.
I absolutely think the Warriors will beat the Grizzlies and Memphis Grizzlies, and I absolutely plan on watching that game. Kobe, last game. Who cares?
Exactly. Who cares? I'm going to enjoy watching Golden State right now, the 72-9, beating the Memphis Grizzlies. I want to know if it's going to be a blowout or a tough game or whatnot, but I don't know. I got to check. I don't know if Memphis is going to play some of the key guys. I know during the last game they played in Memphis, a lot of guys were out. So in this situation, Golden State wants it. Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, they want this game bad. I don't expect them to lose this game.
You mentioned Draymond Green.
I had to.
You a believer now?
I believe in Draymond in this aspect, that he plays hard. And his will to win, his will to win is something else.
Coming around to some degree, but you still haven't given him credit for what he's achieved thus far.
I believe that Draymond Green is a hardworking basketball player, and he does whatever it takes for that team to win.
No one could have foreseen or envisioned Draymond Green being at this stage of his career.
I mean, he's a triple-double machine. No one thought it. He runs the offense at times. He's the point forward. Draymond Green has carved a very good niche there in Golden State. The question is, if Draymond Green wasn't in Golden State, would he be the same player?
And see, Draymond Green, you know, he received a max deal last offseason.
I know. He's a smart man.
I'm just saying, but that's, in my opinion, how you give somebody a max deal, not Tristan Thompson or Bradley Beal. That's another discussion. I'm just throwing that out there from our previous talk before the break. But, yeah, Golden State's going to win probably, and it's going to be celebrated, and it's going to be the biggest story. Bottom line, going into the playoffs. But I do think they're going to face that adversity in the playoffs that they did not face during the regular season, which means back-to-back losses possibly.
All right. So, Will, you mentioned Kobe Bryant. You mentioned his last game.
Yep.
Okay. So, they're playing in Utah at the Staples Center. First off, what do you expect out of Kobe Bryant in this game? And secondly, do you expect for the Lakers to actually win this game?
First of all, I want to say I'm not a Kobe Bryant hater. I'm actually a fan of his.
Supporter? I got you. I did.
I'm a fan of his talent.
Gotcha.
I'm a fan of his talent. I expect Kobe to come out there and chuck it up like there is no tomorrow. I expect whenever Kobe gets the ball, they'll run a lot of isolation. I think Kobe will put up almost 30 shots tomorrow. You know, if the game isn't a blowout. If the game's a blowout, then I'm pretty sure, you know, they'll give him a final curtain call and, you know, allow him to come out of the game and, you know, to the ovation of the fans at the Staples Center. But I fully expect Kobe to put up 30 shots. Easy.
30?
30 shots. I didn't say 30 points. 30 shots. Easy.
I think it's putting him more than 30.
I just think it's going to be hard to watch based on the fact that he's playing on ESPN2. How can you be Kobe Bryant and get relegated to ESPN2? Okay. You have fallen so far. That's the early rounds of Wimbledon, UConn women's basketball. What comes on ESPN2? NASCAR. I mean, and Kobe Bryant's last game. That just bothers me. And it's sad to watch him play at this stage of his career, as slow as he is now, the way he's going out. You know, you want to be like Jordan. Jordan went out on top, bro, in Utah. You're going out on the bottom in Utah. And the most publicity, you know, outside of Kobe Bryant's retirement that the Lakers have received is D'Angelo Russell, you know, being some sort of a snitch. That's just sad. I just feel like the Lakers as a franchise, because of him, have kind of, you know, fallen off a bit. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. He's on ESPN2 with Jim Rome is burning. Does that still come on ESPN? I'm just saying, it's crazy.
Does it still come on?
I doubt it, but ESPN2.
No, it doesn't. I'm sorry. It doesn't.
ESPN2, the best thing on ESPN2 is what? First Take, Mike and Mike?
Marcellus Wiley and
Sports Nation. I'm just saying that's what you think of when you think ESPN2. Kobe Bryant is really good.
She's a very attractive chick.
Michelle Beadle.
Yeah,
she is.
Not my cup of tea, but that's the thing. So, and he's finished his career in Utah. I think it's just ironic, you know.
Where he shot that's what balls?
No, that's what, well, yeah, that. But
that's what's not. He's playing against Utah. It's in LA, but yeah.
Oh, he's playing. It's in LA. Oh, it is in LA.
Yeah, it's in LA. Oh, okay.
So let me shut up then.
No, but he's playing Utah.
He's playing Utah.
Well, we shot his air balls, and you know Jordan with the push off. I mean, Jordan pushed off that same team. Kobe Bryant, I'm just glad to see you go. I'm glad to see the dude go. If I got to be honest.
Wow.
Yeah, like Ray said, he held this team hostage for a while, and he doesn't get that credit that you know the credit he deserves in terms of doing that. Everybody glosses over it because they say it's Kobe Bryant. People live in I don't want to even say they live in today. They live in what his resume looks, and they don't break down every element of his resume. And that's the amazing thing about it. Arguably, you can say within the Lakers, or within that dynasty, he wasn't even the most important being on that team. You could say that, to be real, you could say Phil Jackson was the most important element to that Lakers championship team. You can say that.
Hey, that's debatable. I just feel as though his mission has not been fully accomplished this season, which is to get the attention of all the NBA. There have been a lot of focus on him. Sure, it has. But Golden State is the focus, the main focus of the NBA. And it's just, again, it's interesting to see because I do, you know, marvel at greatness. And Kobe Bryant has been a great NBA player. And I think that he'll be, you know, heralded even more probably after his career is over and everybody gets to look back, you know, at just his skill set and mm-hmm. what he brought to the game and how he, you know, continued to carry the torch that guys like Magic and Jordan and Bird had from the 80s and 90s. But right now, he's just self-absorbed, kind of like Brett Favre. And didn't work. It backfired.
That's what I'm saying.
It backfired. Golden State, again, that's what we all want to see.
Yeah.
Nobody. He is the second story in California. He's the second story in the United States.
I just want to say thank you, Golden State.
It's just terrible.
I want to say thank you, Golden State, to be honest with you, because it's like, in my opinion, what they're doing, this chase, is something that we really should cherish. Because they have an opportunity to win 73 games. Kobe Bryant, and I get it, you know, I get it, he's playing his last game. But he's playing his last game with a horrible basketball team. A horrible basketball team. There are so many top players in this league. I can't remember a player who announced their retirement before the season, and then they got this type of parade as they
on a bad team.
On a bad team. I can't remember.
Derek Jeter, maybe?
I mean, on an NBA team.
Oh, NBA?
On an NBA team.
Very rarely does this type of thing happen in the NBA.
Exactly.
Though, you know? Like, Tim Duncan's probably going to retire after the season, but he didn't need a farewell tour. He's on a great team.
And that's my thing. Tim, like you said, Tim Duncan's a prime example. If Tim Duncan was on a bad team, you wouldn't know. I don't think he would put it out there, so I'm going to retire in the beginning of the season. He doesn't want that attention. He doesn't need that attention. You know, I feel like Kobe Bryant wanted that attention and it backfired, like Ray said. And I want to thank Golden State, because if it wasn't for Golden State, we would be talking about this a lot. And we're not because Steph Curry and them boys are with balling. Just that, and them boys.
And them boys.
And them boys.
I'm just interested also because even Charles Barkley said it recently. He's worried about what Kobe's going to do with his life after this. Because he's too boring for television.
Mm-hmm.
He's not looking to be a front office guy. That typically doesn't work out.
What you mean? Kobe going to write a tell-all book?
What does it matter? He's had how many documentaries now?
About what? How to snitch?
He Shaq wants to give all the secrets of the Lakers locker rooms up.
Shaq did it. Why you messing with me?
No, I do foresee him making television appearance, but he's just not an entertaining guy. You know, what is he going to do? Is he going to hang around the Lakers facility? Is he going to plan a comeback like Jordan did with a different team? You know, what is he doing? Nobody's going to take him at this point, though, because right now, I mean, I watched him the other night and he has to fake so many times just to get a shot off. It's so sad to watch. He played beyond his time. And the thing is, like, Garnett's probably going to retire, too. And they came in around the same time.
And you haven't heard Garnett talk about retirement.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's like he wanted this attention.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a narcissistic move. Yeah. I think everyone knows that he Kobe Bryant feels as if, look, I'm accomplished. Not that the game of basketball owes him something, but the fans should give him that. His praise and his applause, and should applaud him as on his final final, you know, tour around the NBA.
Over $27,000 for one seat courtside to see Kobe Bryant's last game. And the sad thing is, I want to see what y'all think about this. Kobe Bryant's final game tickets are going for at least $300 more than the Golden State 73 win tickets.
Well, one is LA. I think it's LA opposed to, Oakland.
4 hours away.
I understand that, but, you know, people.
Hollywood, maybe?
Yeah, I think, A, because it's LA, and two, people, I think that people aren't giving this Golden State team the credit that they deserve. This will be the greatest.
2 year run.
Yes, this will be like one of the greatest 2 year runs ever in the NBA and in sports in general. And I think that people keep diluting that by saying the rules, you know, the style of play, this and that. But we're taking away from the greatness and just being observing the greatness that we're seeing, which is the Golden State Warriors playing basketball at the highest level that's been played at in the NBA regular season.
And they beat all the best teams. That's the thing. And it's hilarious. If you think about what could have happened this year, they could be, 77-5 or something crazy. Yeah.
And to be real with you, even putting this context, look how good San Antonio is. Like that record.
Yes, exactly.
Like think about people talk about the Bulls 72 wins and other teams. They have never seen a team like San Antonio in the Western Conference with them with just a dominating record as well. And to beat that team, regardless, beating that team at San Antonio, or beating that team like they did before at Oracle, that is like Will said, this team is one of the more dominant teams in basketball history. Like you really have to really put it in its context.
Yeah, but it's guys like Will who will say that the Warriors are not a dynasty, even if they win a championship this year, because you have to win more than just 2 years in a row. Something crazy you said.
You have to win
like three, you said?
A dynasty, yes. That's three. I think that should be back to back to back.
Like you listen to
Irv a Sports back-to-back thing. Championship doesn't constitute a dynasty.
That's true. You listen to Urban Sports, see my man Ray G, see Will Team.
The Heat are a dynasty. the LeBron Heat's team.
They're a dynasty.
Team is a dynasty,
isn't it?
Yeah, not by Will Team.
They won two. They went back to back.
We talk about like the Chicago Blackhawks. Their continued success, no dynasty. The Golden State Warriors, 73 wins. You know, championship potential for championships, but still
not a dynasty. Get one more. After this one, then I say you a dynasty.
Even if it's not consecutive, though. So let's say they win this year, they fall off next year, and in their fourth year, they get it. Is that a dynasty?
Yes, I'll give you that's a dynasty.
All right, so you're coming around then, man. I knew you were coming around eventually. I knew I would sell you on it, you know?
Oh, my God.
85.
All right, so we all in agreement.
Please.
So we're all in agreement, right? We'll be watching Golden State over Kobe.
Absolutely, man. I'm gonna tape the game.
I hope Will doesn't jinx Golden State, because you are jinxing this thing. You had like Petey Pablo on your phone, North Carolina. You just knew they was about to win. You were planning your whole speech about how you were right, and look what happened.
Oh, you're talking about the North Carolina.
Because I wasn't here last week, but I'm just saying. So don't jinx Golden State.
I'm not jinxing.
We need this record. Light skinned guys, we need it. All it's right. A lot of reasons why it has to happen.
Oh my God, we're about to go to break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about the Orioles. Their 6-0 start.
Yeah, and the Warriors, the new Warriors, the Orioles.
Yeah, the new Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the
Dynasty, son.
And the Washington Nationals, Daniel Murphy, his hot start, leading the team RBIs. Is the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
That's a first-rate queso dip. haven't been this lost in years.
Recalculating shortest route.
Do I really look like this?
And put it on top.
Never seen this one before.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
I like it.
I'm supposed to heal ya. I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I remember how it felt before the world fell out of me. There's no between us, a million miles. Hey.
Service Sports Team, we're back. Full effect, you listen to Wally, Will, myself. Call us 240-478-3140. That's the calling number. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Now we're talking baseball. The best part of the show. The new Golden State Warriors, the Baltimore Orioles. I'm so excited about this
about them
potential dynasty. Are we not?
We're talking about the Nationals.
Oh, why are we not talking about, you know, the hot Orioles?
Because the Nationals are right around the corner.
Yeah, we have to go up to 95 to get to Baltimore.
We started in California, though, the show, right? No, we actually started here in D.C. All right, I lost. I took a nil. Stick a fork in him, son. He's done.
Oh, my God. That is way too funny. We're
talking about practice.
Talking about practice? Right now, the Nats are playing Atlanta Braves 0-0. Gio Gonzalez is having a good game, pitching a good game. This is first start, matter of fact, too. But Daniel Murphy right now, I don't have the stats in front of me for his game today. But before that, he's hitting four, I believe he hit 471, seven RBIs, and two homers. How big has him being a Washington Nationals, how big has it been for the team?
I mean, it's too early to tell, you know, to be honest with you. But, you know, through these first five games, he's been all that he picked up from where he left off in the postseason last year. He's done the things that you thought that he would do at the plate, you know, bring some much needed additional hitting power to the Nats lineup. Defensively, he's had a couple of plays that make you go, that are cringe worthy, but for the most part, he's been solid. He's been as advertised.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought initially when they signed him, he was going to be like the Larry Brown football player for the Dallas Cowboys with that big Super Bowl. And he would be like that, you know, that one hit wonder. And honestly, I'm totally wrong about it. This vet, he's about 30 plus. This vet has been very important to the Washington Nationals and been very essential to their offense. thinking that, you know, usually they would probably, in my mind, initially before the season started, during the offseason, I thought they should have, you know, put Turner at shortstop and had Espinosa play second. But this signing was something good. It brings more help to Bryce Harper. You have Ryan Zimmerman, who's having a good season right now so far in the season, early, but he's hitting for a high average. Then you have Wilson Ramos, who had a big RBI game a couple of days.
Four for four yesterday.
Two RBIs. So you had Wilson Ramos yesterday. And so you're having like a full team contribute for this Washington Nationals team. And Dusty Baker deserves credit. Again, I feel like Dusty Baker provides confidence for his players and whatnot. But again, Daniel Murphy has been a very key player for this Washington Nationals ball club.
Absolutely. I just totally agree. I'm not going to piggyback. I think you guys have covered it well. I'm excited about the undefeated Orioles. I've been really wanting to talk about them.
You're so excited about the Orioles.
Excited to ask you, because you usually gloat.
I'm not going to gloat about it.
You're being cautious with it right now.
The Orioles have had a really good season. I mean, they have. We're going up, down.
Going up 295.
I need Will to say it for me. That's all.
Okay. Going up 295. Let's talk about the Orioles.
All right, Orioles 6-0. But to what Ray is talking about, I'm just happy they're playing the style of baseball that I like watching. They're working the count. You got Chris Davis, who's walking now. Chris Davis hitting home runs. He has a couple home runs this season. Had a big home run yesterday against the Red Sox to pretty much win the game. Then you have Mark Trumbo, who finally had his first home run yesterday as well. They're doing all this without Adam Jones. Adam Jones has been out for the last couple of games with a rib injury. And this just shows the depth of the Baltimore Orioles. The pitching staff has been good. It hasn't been great, but good enough. The bullpen, to me, they're using that same blueprint that the Royals use. You get them five, and the Royals bullpen took over. Same thing for the Baltimore Orioles. Their bullpen takes over after five. So when you look at this Orioles ball club, they're playing great baseball right now. They're losing to the Red Sox, I believe, 3-2 at the moment. They've tied it up now. It's about 3-2. So again, this team is still—they're trying to go 7-0, playing a quality Red Sox team. We'll see if they can be 7-0. But again, this team looks like they can. They look like they looked a couple years ago when they made the postseason, and they can play this way with more offense, in my opinion. Again, there's no breaking this line of 1-9. This team can get, you know, to the World Series or whatnot. A lot of people going in before this season started had this team finishing last place in the AL East. So proving a lot of
still could happen. Still could happen.
It could, but I doubt it. You know, I doubt it. Just by watching what I do. You've seen these other teams like the Tampa Bay Rays who struggled to score. The Yankees still have, you know, a couple people. You have Chapman suspended and he won't be back anytime soon. So I mean, the Orioles have an opportunity to put up a decent little lead up. Go ahead.
Manny Machado just continues to get better.
Yes.
His batting average is right now extremely high, at the top of the league, obviously. I'm wondering how much Bryce Harper being right up the road, all the publicity he gets, I wonder how much that motivates him. What do you think?
I don't think it motivates Manny Machado. I think he's in his own little world. But I think it's natural. I guess I'll go this route. I think it's natural. You have people talk about Trout, Machado, the kid in Houston. When you see folks talk about, and Bryant in Chicago, when you see folks talking about those individuals and glossing over a player like Manny Machado, who's a two-way baseball player, who plays great, who's a gold glove quality third baseman, a guy who can hit 30 plus home runs, you look at it like, okay, wow, I'm not getting that attention. So I think that I believe that does fuel Manny Machado to get better every time he gets to the plate, or every season, and he has. If you look at what he did the year before last, and look at what he did last year, he brought his home runs up to 30 plus home runs last season. So and this season he has a couple home runs already. So when you look at Manny Machado, he to me is one of the better players in the AL East. I mean, in the AL, arguably you could say he's the second best player in the AL. If you really want to be real with it, you can say that just because he's a two way baseball player. Offensively, to me, Miguel Cabrera is the best offensive baseball player in the AL. You have Mike Trout is the best player in the AL because he's the best two-way player in the AL. And then you have, to me, Manny Machado rivals Mike Trout, because we're looking at two phenomenal defensive players and two guys who can do their work with the bat. Any disagreements?
No disagreements at all. No, I will say this. Machado is one of, if not the, like, second best offensive player in the AL. But that kid Cabrera from the Houston Astros,
Cabrera, he's
quickly approaching, you know, that level where we'll be saying that he's one of he's if not the best young player, one of the better young players in the league.
I don't know if the Orioles pitching is sustainable throughout the season to you know maintain a great record like they have now, and I think Buck Showalter does not say that directly to the media, but I think he is concerned about it as well.
But that's what I mentioned about this. If you look at the Kansas City Royals, their starters didn't go seven. They went five. So, like, that's when the Orioles, the way the Orioles have their offense, their pitching staff situated, and their bullpen is that you give me five. Just give me five, and I'll mix and match to nine. And that's what the Royals do, and that's a championship team. Their starters don't go seven. They go about five, six. So Buck Showalter's using the same style. That's been winning baseball for a couple of teams. So to me, the Orioles, they look in the blueprint at the Royals with their offense, which is able to score four or five runs a game. Mix that in with a great bullpen, because the Orioles do have a great bullpen. Their pitching staff just has to go five. They go five, they're fine. If they give them seven, that's an added bonus. They get six, it's an added bonus. You know, they're not looking for a pitching staff like the Washington Nationals. That's a dominant pitching staff. To be real with you, it's a dominant pitching staff. But the Orioles don't—they're not looking for all that. They're looking for guys who eat innings, keep their team in games. You know, give it like two, three runs is fine, and then they can win games that way.
What did Jeremy Guthrie's T-shirt say a few years back?
These O's ain't royal.
Yeah. So we don't want to compare him to Kansas City just yet. I think
it's the truth.
His shirt is accurate,
but it's true.
So far, six games in.
But the bullpen's always
good start. I can't.
Solid start. You should be excited. You should be excited as an Orioles fan.
Excited?
Why not?
Not excited. I'm just happy that
you're
good.
You're excited about the future.
Yeah, I'm always been excited about the future for this team.
You're always very optimistic.
For the Orioles?
Yeah.
Every season.
So I will say that you're consistent.
Yeah, very consistent.
But you always fall pretty hard too at the end.
I don't fall pretty hard.
You're always pretty devastated at how they finish seasons.
Nah, not last year. I wasn't devastated. That's false. 85% you're wrong on that one, sir. I was the year before last, though, because they made it to the postseason. That's the truth, though.
All right.
Anyway, it's about time for commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about Manny Pacquiao defeating Timothy Bradley Saturday night. And he also discussed retirement. We'll see if we believe it or not. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I seen your girl post a DM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
All right, we're back from break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Will T, and my man, Ray Jeezy. What's good, fam?
Not much, fam.
I know, I'm trying to be like a New Yorker. New York folks say fam?
I don't know. Son, God. But we're not making fun of you. Any listeners that we have from New York, you know,
we'll give a shout out to Gio Gonzalez, rocking the Pirates of the Caribbean look.
Hey, call in the number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. Just make sure you listen to my homies Hakun Wong and Ryan Winfield. no, hold on. All right, Pacquiao defeated Timothy Bradley.
Yeah, Saturday night. You know what? Leading up to this fight, there wasn't a lot of hype. There wasn't, you know, overly loud, boisterous part of the population that was excited to see the fight per se. Even with some people, even though Bob Arum didn't promote it as Manny Pacquiao's last fight, some people have an inclination that's his last fight that he'll compete in. I personally don't think it will be. But yeah, Saturday night in Vegas, Manny Pacquiao, Timothy Bradley, the trilogy part three. Pacquiao came out and was far more effective. He looked explosive like he did prior to the Floyd Mayweather fight. You know, in his prior fights, he looked explosive. He looked like he was ready, willing, and wanted to engage. He knocked down Timothy Bradley twice. All three of the judges had the scorecard 116 to 110. And if this was Manny Pacquiao's last fight, then he went out on, you know, with a, I'm not going to say dominant performance, but a sharp performance coming off his performance last year against Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to retire. You know, it's funny because a lot of people before this fight and prior fights, it was like Manny Pacquiao doesn't have the power anymore. He can't knock anybody down. And then you get into this fight, he knocks down Timothy Bradley twice, a guy that's hard to put on his butt. So to be honest with you, so when you look at Manny Pacquiao, it just shows you at this point in time he still has the punching power. So I don't believe that because of that type of performance, not to say he's going to fight somebody big time, but because of that type of performance, he's still a big draw. And he's still that type of dude that, you know what, he still had the electric capability to knock somebody out.
I mean, he does present a dangerous opponent for a guy like Terrence Crawford, who's on the come up.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's also promoted by Top Rank. That's a fight that a lot of people have been clamoring for and said they would love to see. But I still think that Terrence Crawford needs one more fight. He needs to get that. Not a big name, but he needs to take another step up in competition. And then, you know, a fight against Manny Pacquiao will be that much bigger.
So you mentioned Terrence Crawford. That was a guy I was actually thinking of myself. And I was having this debate with somebody, and they threw out Terrence Crawford. And I was like, I don't think he's ready yet. Like, he's, in terms of the level of competition to play Manny, to fight a Manny Pacquiao. Do you think he's ready yet?
I think he's ready. Could, you know, if he had to fight Manny Pacquiao, would it be a competitive fight? Yes.
Okay.
Could he win a fight against Manny Pacquiao right now? You don't know because he hasn't faced that level
exactly,
of star
point, yeah.
competition or star quality fighter. But I think his length, his speed, and his craftiness in the ring presents a very dangerous. He presents a very stiff obstacle for Manny Pacquiao if Manny Pacquiao were to take the fight.
Did you hear that Freddie Roach say he would prefer Crawford over Canelo?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, because Freddie Roach probably sees a lot of chinks in Terrence Crawford's armor right now. You know, Terrence Crawford, and also you couple that with the performance that Pacquiao had against a guy like Tim Bradley, who, while he said earlier, is a guy who's very hard to put down, a very tough, rugged fighter. Is not a guy who stands right in front of you and engages. Mm-hmm. You know. He has against guys like Povletnikov, but, you know, this wasn't, he came out not wanting to stand right in front of Manny Pacquiao, but still he was on the end of a lot of hard punches from Pacquiao.
And that's and back to Terrence Crawford, in the same debate, like, this is only my only thing about Terrence Crawford, because you mentioned that he hasn't played the level of competition. It reminds me back in the day when Fernando Vargas broke onto the scene. And he jumped into a level that he shouldn't have been in. Like, he went against Trinidad. He went against Oscar De La Hoya. These are guys he really wasn't ready yet. But he had that good record. He was a solid boxer, a good boxer. But he wasn't.
Fighter, not fighter.
Yeah, fighter. You're right, fighter. Sorry, fighter. But he wasn't at that level yet. He had heart. He had heart, but, you know, he wasn't at that level yet.
Yeah, I think Terrence Crawford, he's quickly coming to that level. But I would still like to see him, if I was his handlers, get him in one more fight with, you know, a guy who's on a upper echelon fighter at 147, and then, you know, see where he goes from there.
Okay, so, all right, so I'm going to have to bring it up. Obviously, you have Pacquiao talking retirement. Mayweather has already retired. Could that even ever happen? Like, just
yeah, I mean, if the check was right, of course it could happen. You know, and both of those guys are prize fighters, so they obviously fight for a lot of money, and, you know. Could it happen? Yeah, I think what we're starting to see with Floyd Mayweather is the same pattern that anyone who paid attention is the same pattern that happened the last time he retired. You know, he was started to talk about, you know, fighting young up and coming fighters or guys who had solid records and starting to put a lot of fighters' name in his mouth. And, you know, I think he's kind of getting the itch. And, you know, I'm not going to say in September, but I think, you know, he takes off this year, and I don't think it's totally unreasonable to see Floyd Mayweather back in the ring again, especially if against a guy like Danny Garcia. If Danny Garcia continues to win and look sharp.
So, all right, I'm going to tell you a question about the Terrence Crawford thing, but it's about Bob Arum. You think Bob Arum would have Pacquiao fight Crawford?
Absolutely.
You think he would? You think Bob Arum would do it?
Bob Arum has been known to sacrifice an older fighter to a young up-and-coming lion.
Okay.
He's done it before. He'll do it again.
That's true, but do you think that the risk of it, that Pacquiao could knock his guy down, would be bad for business?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Because, you know, it's good for business either way for Bob Arum, right?
Okay.
Because if Terrence Crawford wins, then he says, this is the next guy. This is the next generational fighter. You know, he beat Manny Pacquiao, who was that fighter who some people thought was the fighter, best fighter of his decade or best fighter of the decade or his generation. Mm-hmm. But then if Manny Pacquiao wins, look what he did to a young up and coming fighter. You know, we want Floyd Mayweather again. Then that starts get the general public saying, hey, you know, look what he did to Terrence Crawford. We want to see a rematch with Floyd Mayweather. So it's a win-win for Bob Arum.
What about the
rap? I ain't mad at you, Bob.
You ain't mad at him?
No, he's
a hustler, man. He's a hustler. You get that money. But yeah, we're about to wrap this show up anyway, man. Any parting shots before we wrap this bad boy up?
Nah, man. There's no parting shots here, man. Just once again, thanks everyone for listening. You know, listen to the show. We sports fans just like you. No matter if you listen to the show live, you listen to it on podcast, we appreciate you taking the time out to listen to us, hear our voice.
On podcast.
I know what he means.
I know what he means. You just got to get it right. You know, if you're going to come at me, you got to start. You got to start getting things correct. If you listening, you know, iTunes, you're going to be top what? What did you say?
Top 100.
That's probably the biggest fall from grace that you might have had thus far. That was wishful thinking.
Oh, you got something else.
There's no wishful thinking, dog.
It could happen.
We got to just keep going, keep grinding.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mac, lead us out, homie. To the swag, pledge allegiance 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 to the swag.